Hey there, boys and girls. I guess all this works better when you actually hit the recording part of the segment. And this is talking about tarpon talking this, or radio fishing is what this is, but this is our tarpon edition. And Robert and I are going to try and figure out what is up with the tarpon. Where are they and what's going on? And to be quite honest, I don't know that we know, but we're going to give it a shot. All right. Calm down, Frank. Get off the guitar. All right. Okay, here we are, and we are talking big fish. We're talking about tarpon. We want to know, I guess we haven't changed the report in a while because there really hasn't been much to report. I guess I could have put that up there. I'm not sure. See, big fish splashing.
Yeah. Yeah. Toilet bowl would have been better.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, boy, I can tell where this is going right away. What we've got is a kind of a weird year. Now, El Nino, I think, had a lot to do with this.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Constant rain, the river's at flood stage almost all the way through. And I think the reason that's important figuring out about tarpon is when the rivers are at flood stage, the Myakka River, the Peace River, the Coosa-Hatchie, and they don't come down, they don't get time to build up all the bugs and the little fish and everything else that normally gets flushed down these rivers to feed these hordes of tarpon.
Right. Now, along with all the bait fish that get drawn in by all the nutrients.
Right. So when the river just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing, now it's just fresh water and it's uncomfortable.
Right.
Now, I'm guessing you agree with me.
No, so I agree with that. I mean, that's by far the best theory there is.
The only thing that really makes sense, because usually at this time of year, it's a spectacular tarpon season. The fish are going off.
It makes Boca Grande look tame.
Yeah, it's spectacular because there's not a lot of people. And, you know, you get to have a lot of these fish to yourself, literally,
and
really enjoy it. And it's been tough this year. Now, we just put up the map, and, you know, this is right above the map, so I'm pretty sure you're looking at it. But to me, really the only places that we're hearing kind of steady, I put some red dots over in the Port Charlotte canals and the PGI canals. It's just kind of covering all of the canals because they're all over the place. East Spring Lake is doing good. The Elkham, Edgewater Lake, you know, there's tarpon in there, but they're smaller fish. Yeah. These are light spinning tackle fish.
Yeah.
Now, there are some big ones mixed in. It's not all tiny fish, right?
No. No, you occasionally have those 80 or 100 pounders in there that freak you out.
Now, the other place we didn't mark, we kind of marked it with some yellow dots, is between I-75 and 41. Mm-hmm. What's going on between I-75 and 41 that we're doing a 50-50 there?
I've just had a few different reports from several people that are running into them up there, and it's been at least a little bit more consistent. Carl saw a bunch of fish up there a couple days ago, had another gentleman see a bunch of fish up there 2 days before that. So they're hanging out a little bit up there for some reason. And this is normally when they should be up there.
Right.
But usually they're a lot bigger fish.
Yeah, these are 60 pounders.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, 30 to 60 pounds.
Now, we also got some yellow dots down around Pirate Harbor. Mm-hmm. And I got some inside of Pirate Harbor because those are the little canals, the canal tarpon. There's some in there. And then just outside by the entrance because we are getting some fish coming in and out of there.
Right.
So there is a possibility of an ambush point there.
Right. I also think it's a little bit of a highway for them too for some reason. I think there's times where those fish, under normal situations, that are out there in that Pirate Harbor hole, I think some of those fish actually break loose and head towards the shore and then truck along just on the outside of the bar heading north towards Alligator Creek.
All right. Now, staying with the yellow dots here for a minute, we really didn't have much north of us or south of us, but we did do some yellow dots in Boca Grande Pass, but more specifically around the phosphate dock.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's been a lot of juveniles there, you know, in that 10 to 50 pound range off and on, you know, enough where if you're going by, it's worth taking a look at.
Now, we went by there the other day and Cliff got all excited because, you know, he's seen all these white markings over there. And I said, Cliff, look close. It's a boat wake. He was like, oh, you're so disappointed. but it was a boat wake. It wasn't rolling fish.
Yeah.
But we have also, I did see guys tarpon fishing there in the past. Didn't see anybody hook up, but they are still fishing in the past because there is a chance of still hitting those tarpon coming in or out of the harbor. And they do tend to like to get into that pass and hang out a bit, maybe look for some crabs or fish or something there. It is a big feeding ground for tarpon. But you had me mark from Gasparilla down to Captiva Pass. So front of Gasparilla Island, the front of Cayo Costa. Why did we mark that out?
There's been so much bait out there, and some of those fish, like you were talking about, that are moving in and out of the pass are going out along the beaches too. And then this is also kind of that time of the year where you've got the fish that are going to leave Homosassa and Tampa Bay, and some of those fish boogie way offshore to head south for the winter.
Have you heard anything about Tampa Bay lately?
Nothing. The only thing I've heard about is redfish. I've heard some good redfish reports in the last week.
I never
week.
Really heard much about the tarpon season, but I know at one point it was going off pretty good, but it kind of came and went.
Yeah, it was real quick, but it was better than what we had going on here.
Yeah, it was a better report for a little while, but...
But yeah, it's been really slow up there. I heard of one guy a couple weeks ago that was fishing by the Gandy Bridge, and he got into the tarpon for several days in a row up there and had a blast because he had them all to himself. But that was literally the last report I've had.
So we're going to say we're pretty sure there's still some good tarpon in Tampa Bay somewhere, but it's such a big place.
Right.
It's a monstrous bay, and it's like trying to go around Shaw Harbor looking for them. If it's a calm day, it's not hard to, you can really, at 20 miles an hour, you can cover some ground and actually see the fish.
Right.
But the water's so dark, you're not seeing shadows, and it's been literally rough almost every day.
Yeah.
At least to the point with that light chop where you're not going to see them rolling or doing that. So it's very hard to find. Let's get to the red dots. Now, like I say, the red dots over land are the canal systems on Port Charlotte and Punta Gorda. But from Alligator Creek out to the Alligator Creek Reef, and I guess I could have brought those dots up around. I hesitated. I was going to bring them up around to Mangrove Point.
Yeah. For some reason, that's always like for me personally, it's one of my most favorite spots this time of year. And, I mean, your theory over the years with the way the water comes in up the east wall and creates that little eddy there. Yeah. I think that's one of the main reasons why that particular area, because that, you got that fall run of the tarpon, and then you've always got that one school of big redfish that always shows up right there around Mangrove Point. So there's something about that water in that particular area that is just a real good focal point for any kind of fall species of fish.
Well, and, when you look at a map, you're going to see we got Stump Pass, Gasparilla Pass, Boca Grande, Captiva, Redfish, Ponarasa. But there's all those passes south of Boca Grande where the water's trying to come in as well.
Right.
So their water's pouring in there, so the water from Boca Grande Pass cannot really go south very much.
No.
It's mostly got to come in and go north to spread out.
Right.
And so when it hits that east side of the harbor over towards Burnt Store, it's getting the water coming up from Ponarasa, Redfish, Captiva. All that water's trying to push in as well, kind of focus more of that water up north. So all those fish that go along that east side, and when I first was learning fishing and bass fishing up north, you always wanted to fish a point, because any of the fish coming along that edge would have to go out and around that point. They're going to be narrowed down, more focused there.
Yeah.
And so if there are any tarpon, say, from Two Pines all the way up to Alligator Creek moving north, they're going to hit that wall in front of them. And we see it from our boats because we can see the wall coming up in front of us.
Right.
We see the trees on the right. We see the trees in front of us, and we know we're going to have to turn. But if you're underwater, you don't get to see that kind of broad optics.
Right.
You don't get to get that overview. You're just kind of seeing what's in front of you or to your right or to your left. And so those fish are following that sandbar on their right-hand side moving north and going along, and all of a sudden now there's a sandbar in front of them.
Yeah.
And they have to figure out, do I turn left, do I turn right? And it's going to create more of a milling area there where the tarpon might move around or mill around, just trying to say, okay, how do we get out of this? Because they can't stick their head up out of the water and look, oh, okay, over there is clear.
Yeah.
You know? if you think about it from that aspect, the fish is underwater, very limited range of vision. You know, the higher you get up, we make observation towers that, you know, you go up 60, 80, 100 feet, you get to see over the trees to get more of a panoramic view to kind of put everything in perspective. But the lower you are, imagine being below the surface of the land.
I can't even imagine. I mean, even on a clear day.
Right.
Picture that, but let alone in coffee.
Right. You know? So I mean, literally are going along.
What extra senses do they use where they're just not constantly hitting something, you know, going down, going to the right, and bouncing off a sandbar?
Yeah, there's something there. But I think that's why these points where you see the east side come up and then Punta Gorda sticks out. Punta Gorda literally means wide point. And we always laugh because eliminate the N and you've got a whole different thing. So, but, you know, it creates a milling point there. They're going to kind of circle around and say, okay, are we going to go left? We're going to go right? Okay, we can't go right. Well, I guess we're going to have to go left. And I think that might be why you get such a concentration of fish there once or twice a day. The problem is figuring out when they're going to be there. I hear almost every day about fish in the morning somewhere around 41 and coming up along Punta Gorda, going past Fisherman's Village. You might have a slight chance if you're on the dock at, I can't remember the name of that park right there,
Gilcrest.
You might have a shot as they come by if you're standing there waiting to cast on Gilcrest Pier and not really actively fishing, because sometimes you're only going to get one or two casts out of
right.
They're moving by you, and being there, say, at 7 o'clock in the morning or ish, maybe even a little bit earlier, and literally waiting to see the tarpon go by. And if you're lucky, they're going to roll. If not, they're underwater and it's just a nice
you
steady
miss the opportunity.
You're not going to see them. So, but between Fisherman's Village and Colony Point, they seem to stage up there a bit in the mornings, and it's usually going to be somewhere between eight-ish in the morning. It might be as late as 9 o'clock, but by 9 o'clock, it's pretty much done.
Yeah.
But if you're there, you got a shot at some tarpon. And then they seem to go around. And we don't know. Maybe they go to the Myakka. Maybe they go to the west side. But somewhere during the day, they're going to end up in front of Alligator Creek. It could be first thing in the morning. Could be later in the afternoon. Could be midday. The problem is we don't know when they're going to be there. Only right. that sometime during the day, they're usually going to be there. But that's a lot of waiting.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I think I would have to have, you know, a couple of beverages with me.
Yes.
Maybe
a book.
A book, a TV, something. I'm going to, you know, I mean, just sitting there for hours and hours waiting for those fish to show up.
Yeah.
That's a tough way to go. Yeah. I think most of us are going to get impatient with that and just drive around and try and look for them.
And that's, I think, more realistic. Rather have the AC on driving around rather than sitting there sweating.
Yeah. So that's kind of where you're looking at. Now, any kind of lures working better than others? You want to come in and talk tarpon with us, Dad?
I don't know a thing about
it. Okay.
That's ugly white fish.
All right. My dad just came into the room, so we've been talking about what kind of... We just were going to get into lures for tarpon. Any insights as to lures?
Yeah, best thing I ever did use was a quarter stick.
Thanks, Dad.
Nice.
Just what you asked.
Yeah, I know. Let's see.
I'm going to say the bait buster, obviously, and then the Storm Wild Eye swim bait.
Now,
by far my two favorite, most constant baits.
I think you're going to throw in there the two, and it's actually hard to believe we've talked about this before, where... the Storm swim bait is actually catching the DOA bait buster.
Yeah.
I think because both of them are basically simple. You got about $5 for the bait buster. You got $5 for like three of the Storm.
Right.
So they're inexpensive and they work. I think the big difference is if I'm using the bait buster, I'm kind of doing big jigs with it.
Yeah.
Big lift up, let it fall. Big lift up, let it fall. Well, with the Storm, it's more cast outs and steady, moderate retrieve. Slow to steady. Slow to moderate.
A little bit more thumping of the tail on those.
Yeah, you're not trying to jig it as much. It's more just cast it out and slowly reel it in. A lot easier.
Yeah.
A lot easier.
Yeah.
I think the reason the Storm didn't catch on before is people are trying to use them like the bait buster with the big jigging motion.
Yeah.
And it didn't work as well.
No.
So, I guess after that, we're going to have to go back to the Rapala, that subwalk, the big subwalk.
Especially that new one with the single hooks on it.
The big single hook subwalk, that's proved to be really good. If you can find the fish and you don't mind doing a little extra work, I mean, you're literally trying to walk the dog, a lot of twitching and jerking, but you do it quick.
But it's also closer to the surface, so the blow up on it is scares you.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Much more effective blow up on it. After that, I guess I'm going back to the bomber, the 16 bomber.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call the chartreuse one. The white
chartreuse or white that green. Stupid ugly yellow one.
Oh yeah, the banana.
Yeah.
You know, every year I forget about that banana. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But that yellow is always the secret weapon. When nothing else works, you throw that. But with the bombers, I'm flattening the treble hook on the front treble, flattening the barbs on the front treble, replacing it with a VMC single hook on the back hook, and or doing your trick where you use the
assist hooks.
Yeah, the speed jig hook off the back with the string on it.
Yeah.
But I would
your idea just slightly modified.
Yeah, but I would give that bomber, because you control it, you can cast it.
That's what I love about it. It's a versatile lure, and it's cheap compared to some of the hard baits that are out there.
$5, $6, $8
Yeah.
So
it works.
Dad, what do you think about spoons on tarpon? Anything you've seen, like king spoons, anything you think would work on tarpon?
Never tried any. Never threw any. Don't know anybody that has really worked spoons for them.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Over the years, there's been a handful of guys that have been out there trolling for like Spanish mackerel or whatever and have king or have the tarpon hit them. So I'm sure it would work. It's just not.
I just don't know why it's not more popular.
I think the main reason is because usually under normal situations, there's so many other fishermen out there that are being stealthy trying to cast to them that you trolling by them with your lines out and your motor running just.
No, I mean casting spoons. Even if it's just throwing spoons. Oh. Spoons are just not.
Not used, yeah.
Generally thought of as a tarpon lure.
No, I think they would work.
I don't know why they wouldn't.
Especially that big king spoon that was it, the drone?
Yeah, the drone type spoons.
Yeah.
The big, what's that one by, oh God, Logston.
Reflecto?
Reflecto. I think a big Reflecto spoon should actually just really whack a tarpon. Why wouldn't they eat it? But nobody uses it.
Nope. We'll have to start a new trend. We'll have to play with that.
Yeah, we'll have to go see, get out and see what we can do with some tarpon on the spoons and see if that maybe is the key this year, something a little different.
Right.
Big rattle traps have worked. Guys used to use those offshore tremblers or whatever they were.
Yeah,
the giant rattle traps.
2 ounce or 3 ounce or whatever they are.
Yeah, the big giant rattle trap stuff. Tarpon do like those, and they're like the smaller ones. So maybe that might be something to look at this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything you've heard about tarpon, Dad?
Not really. Mirror lure.
Oh yeah, the old
7M21. I've jumped quite a few on that. They don't stay stuck very long, but when they come up and hit them on top, that's a blast.
And then 7M's nice to work because it's just give it a hard shot. Let it sit for a while, it'll float back to the top. When it hits the surface again, give it another hard shot. It's real simple to work, but it's very effective. That's the one you got, my first snook on top water I got with you on a 7MR26.
Yeah.
You taught me how to do that.
26, yeah, it ain't the 21.
Well, the 21 is the one you like to use. I like the red and white one. You like the 21's the black and silver.
No, I like the silver with the sort of a maroon top. I think it is the 26. I had the numbers wrong.
Yeah, the 26 is that kind of red with the white and silver, and the 21 is the black, white, and silver.
Yeah. Actually, when you throw it out there, anything will eat it. So.
Yeah. Great snook bait. Everything likes it.
Yeah.
But I guess that's one of the things about doing this is sometimes you use a lure for so long, then you do something else, and you forget about the ones you were really good with in the beginning.
Exactly.
Right.
You either get stuck doing the same old thing and never experiment with doing something else, or the opposite.
Just made up my mind. I'm going to order some of those big musky jitterbugs.
I've been telling you that for years.
And first flat night, just go out there with a big black jitterbug, the musky size.
Yeah.
and just slow crank that under the bridge, even troll it under the bridge. You could do either one. And that, why wouldn't that work?
It's got to work.
I mean, it is the most effective top water lure in history, in my opinion, that jitterbug. I don't know anything else that catches fish at night like a jitterbug.
No, it works pretty well.
I mean,
I've caught snook on jitterbugs and hula poppers, for that matter.
Yeah. I know that was kind of a way out left field crossover, but when we started talking about, you know, Dad brought up the old 52 or the 5M mirror lures, I got to think about stuff that I used to use, and jitterbugs always use those. Why wouldn't that? Maybe that'll be the next tarpon.
Maybe you caught a mullet on one time, remember?
Yep. Yeah, I sure did. I mean, and he bit it. The mullet was hooked. The treble hook was hooked through the upper lip and the lower lip.
That'd have been awesome.
You know, I have a picture of it around somewhere. But I remember because I was working a little canal, a little creek, and the fish kept hitting, and it was just getting dark. And he sliced at it, hit at it, hit at it, hit at it. Finally, he hit it. And, I mean, there's several casts into it. I'd cast and bring it across, and the fish would hit it, and he'd be banging the lure, and never could get him to connect. And finally connected with it on the back treble hook, and it was a mullet. I thought I had a heck of a snook. What a fight.
That's what you told me about that one you caught on the whitebait.
Yeah. Amazing fight. And it was a mullet. I'm like, really? On a jitterbug? I was just, you know, okay. News of the strange and weird.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'll find the picture of it somewhere and post that one day again. So, anything else we're thinking about tarpon-wise? I don't really know what we can do. Are you thinking it's just over for the year, or you think they're going to come back?
Honestly, at this point, I'm going to be pessimistic and think that it's going to be, this is about it.
We're kind of done.
Yeah, because I mean,
they're not
just
here. They went somewhere else to eat.
Yeah, they're just getting their, they're just experiencing their first cold front up in the Midwest, like Chicago and that right now today.
Right.
We'll probably be due for a little minor one by the end of this month.
We can only pray. Now, I've got tons of freshwater bait ready to be ordered, but I'm waiting for the first signs of our air temp has got to be in the 80 degrees all day before we're even really start to look at much fresh water, because the bluegills, the crappies, the bass, nothing's really going to turn on until we have 80 degree days instead of 90 degree days. That's right. Our big, you know, go, okay, get a lot of freshwater stuff. We got minnows, shiners, worms, and night crawlers right now. But before I order, you know, the wax worms and all the crazy stuff and the crickets and all the rest of that stuff, I want to see some evidence it's going to cool down a bit and get these fish to turn on. So you think that this signifies that if we get these cool spells in October, the tarpon are just over for the year?
I would say so. I mean, I think our juveniles will still be here, but as far as the possibility of the adults coming in and good numbers or anything like that, nah, I'm going to go with it's done.
All right.
And the weird part is I haven't even heard the good stuff in the Keys either. I mean, they had a phenomenal spring season. Their spring season started early this year, started in middle, early March, and rock and rolled really good until mid-May, and then it just stayed steady until June. Then theirs even fizzled out. It was consistent, but it was way low as far as normal.
Do you think they actually just stayed out in deep water this year?
For as often as you heard about them out there, you know, that 50, 60, 75 miles out?
Yeah, I mean, all the way 100 miles out there, you know? Yeah. You think they're just hanging out there?
I think so.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say this year. So, anyway, your best bet right now, if you're looking for tarpon, is going to be between Alligator Creek and the Alligator Creek Reef. And then I would say there's a slight possibility up the Myakka River, up the Peace River between 41 and I-75, mornings, evenings, decent bet for tarpon there.
Mm-hmm.
Look around the bridges, idle up down the bridge, and then kind of go up towards I-75, up and down the bridge. But watch for them between 41 and 75.
Definitely.
Even in the mooring fields, there's been a little bit of fish over by there.
Yeah.
So you're kind of in that area, but Alligator Creek, the Alligator Creek Reef, and then out around Boca Grande Pass, you're seeing a few fish and along the beaches. But there's not a lot of exciting stuff happening tarpon-wise this year.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And we were waiting for it because this is a season all of us, because we're not as busy in the store.
We're able to get out and enjoy it.
We're able to get out and do some tarpon fishing. It's been kind of a letdown to what we were thinking this spring. This was going to be an amazing season. We had a lot of fish move in. Everything was going pretty good. And then it just didn't. They never came back in. They went out off in the Gulf, and we haven't seen them.
Right.
That isn't to say they won't show back up. Because now, remember, last year in December, we had a great tarpon, a little mini burst in tarpon.
Ricks.
What is it?
Ricks.
Did I say two?
Two.
All right.
Two, please.
Dad, what do you think? You think the tarpon are gone for the year, or you think they're going to come back?
I believe the tarpon fishing is still good. Maybe the tarpon catching isn't good, but the fishing is good as long as you're out there throwing something for them. You never know when a stupid one will show up.
Good point.
Very good point.
Yeah, and
I mean, everybody waits till, oh yeah, they're there, they're there. How do you know they're not there? If you're not out there throwing, you'll never know.
Exactly. Great point. I guess into that range, I haven't heard much about cobia at all.
Not at all.
Still some sharks out in the harbor. We got sharks out there, got catfish, a little bit of Spanish mackerel, stuff like that. But we're not, no cobia reports. So,
no.
You know, waiting for that accidental cobia would have been a great thing to go tarpon fishing for. But we're not even seeing that. So,
no.
Gloom and doom, guys. Okay. But
the offshore fishing is insane. If I was going to do it and just bypass the tarpon, go to the nearshore reefs.
Yeah, I heard several stories of possible permit schools of permit out there.
Kings, Bonita,
King mackerel,
Spanish.
Bonita.
That's going off really, really good.
So our best advice is to skip the tarpon and go straight out in the Gulf and actually really enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Okay. Anything to add to that, Dad?
Not really.
All right. Well, our producer's telling us that's about it for this edition of Radio Fishing Tarpon Version. And thank you guys for listening, and we appreciate it. We're going to be on a regular schedule here very soon. We've got the store in North Fort Myers opening up here in the next week or two or three. It's going to be dependent. We're supposed to start stocking it next week, taking the stuff down there, and then we're going to see where we go from there. But once that's done, we'll be back on a regular schedule with lots of cool radio fishing for you. Anyway, Fishin' Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and my dad, the original Fishin' Frank, in the guest spot. So we'll see you on the next Radio Fishin'. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.